Good morning and welcome to this opportunity that we have to gather together and worship. So glad that you have set this time apart to be able to worship the Lord this morning on this online virtual way. A couple of quick announcements first. Today we will be celebrating communion at the conclusion of our time together. So if you have not already, gather a piece of bread, gather some grape juice or some other kind of juice or water, and be prepared for that at the closing time of our worship service together. Also, today's service will be a little bit different. We're going to be encouraging you to be interacting with the Lord in various ways, cooperating with the Holy Spirit wants to speak to you. So if you don't have sermon notes that you've already downloaded and printed, please grab a piece of paper, a pencil, pen, something to be able to write and to just be able to have something to journal and to process what the Lord is doing and speaking in your life. We're so glad that we have this opportunity. Today is Mother's Day. And so at the beginning of our time, we want to spend a moment just praying blessing over the mothers and praying blessing over all the women who are listening to this time. Normally on a Sunday morning on Mother's Day, we would have all the women stand up, the mothers first, and we would honor them and bless them and thank them for all that they have done in investing in the lives of their children. And then recognizing that Mother's Day can be a painful day for some through disappointment, through loss. We also don't just pray for the mothers, but we pray for all the women as well. So we want to pray for moms. We want to pray for the women today and start this time with blessing over them, encouragement over them, strengthening over them, thanking God for them this morning. So if you're listening and there's a mom nearby you, as you're someone that you're listening, we'll just gather around them, lay hands on them, and we'll just spend these first moments praying blessing over moms and over the women in general. Let's pray. Father, it is in the strong name of Jesus that we come to you, the name that is above every name. Jesus, we love you and we worship you and we look forward to the time that we have together this morning. We look forward to the time where we will celebrate your death and your resurrection, celebrating the communion supper at the conclusion of our time. Prepare our hearts for that. Father, we are thankful and we celebrate this morning the moms in our lives. Father, we thank you for the gift of mothers. We thank you for their care, for their love, for their faithfulness. We thank you for their nurturing. We thank you for their strength, for their boldness, for their courage. I thank you, Father, specifically for moms of younger children today who are not just caring for their children and their family, not just going about their jobs and their responsibilities, but they're also caring for children in the midst of online schooling in this world that we're living in today. And so, Father, would you pour out an extra special dose of your blessing, an extra portion of your Spirit to empower them, to give them everything that they need to mother well. We pray for those mothers who their children have grown up, Lord, who may have grandchildren now. We pray blessing over them in their role as grandmother as well as mother. Father, we pray blessing over all of these mothers, and we are grateful for them. Thank you for the gift of moms. We recognize, Father, today that this can be a difficult day for those who have lost mothers or those who have had disappointment in mothering or have not been able to have children. So, Father, we pray that your Spirit, the God of all comfort, by your Spirit, that you would comfort them. Lord, that you would hold them tightly. Lord, that this would be a day of a blessing even for them. Lord, that they would know the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Father, that every sorrow, every grief, Father, that you would comfort. Father, today, may you bless all the women who are listening in a special way. Lord, we value them. We thank you for them. Father, pray blessing over them in the mighty name of Jesus. And we welcome you, Holy Spirit, as we enter this time of worship, as we enter this time of prayer, as we enter this time of looking into your word and processing what you are doing in our lives. Holy Spirit, come. Holy Spirit, lead us. Holy Spirit, meet us. It's for the glory of Jesus we pray. Amen. So today's going to be a little bit different. Today, we are going to be focusing specifically on the care of our soul. Behind me, there are some pictures of shepherding, and the Lord Jesus says he is the good shepherd who lays down his life for the sheep. But one of my main roles is to shepherd and to care for, under the chief shepherd, the Lord Jesus, is to care for the hearts and the souls and the lives of the people who the Lord has entrusted into my care. It's something that I find great joy in. It's something that I take very seriously as well. And this week, I was preparing to start a series on the book of Philippians, which we will be starting, Lord willing, next week. But the Lord really stopped me and said that we need to focus on this question. How is it with your soul? John Wesley, in the beginning of his small groups, would gather the people that were coming for that time, and he would begin his groups with that question. How is it with your soul? It goes way past how are you doing. You can give some really general, surface-level answers, but it forces you to be able to stop and to take stock of how you are really doing, not just in the external circumstances, but how you're doing at a soul level, at a heart level. What really is this condition of your life? As we walk through this COVID-19, these coronavirus days, as we walk through quarantine, right now as I record this, it's Friday morning, and we are awaiting later sometime today news from the governor as to whether this will continue on for us or will be moved from red to yellow or whether we'll remain in red. Whatever it is, these days of quarantine, they've taken a toll on us. I found an interesting concept this week. It's the concept, the third quarter phenomenon. The third quarter phenomenon. The third quarter phenomenon came as some psychologists, some researchers did a study back in the 1980s, and they studied the long-term effects on space, on astronauts who were in space, how they were able to survive. It was looked at also in the 2000s as a research was done for long-term researchers in Antarctica. People who were in quarantine for at least a year, how did they walk through that time? How were they able to deal with the circumstances? What effects did it have on their lives? And so as I looked at this, researchers have found that you can break it down basically into four quarters. The fourth quarter is the ending, it's a wrapping up. But the first three quarters are what really interest me. And what they focused on this study was what they called the third quarter phenomenon. The title of the message today is The Third Quarter. And so in the first quarter, it is marked by shock and panic. You begin to realize that you're stuck in this place and you're stuck in it for a long time. There's shock and panic. You begin to see as this research was correlated to how people are responding to quarantine and COVID-19, how there are so many parallels. In that first quarter, we saw shock and panic. We saw the run on toilet paper. We saw the run on hand sanitizer. We saw the run on Clorox wipes. We saw shock and panic. The second quarter, though, moves into what they call a phase of acceptance or a honeymoon phase. And in that, it becomes more accepted, but there also can be these levels of depression that will come up from time to time. We began to see that honeymoon phase, didn't we? As people began to see quarantine as, you know what, this is actually a gift. We're able to stay at home. We don't have to run here and there and do this and do that. This isn't ideal, but, you know, we needed some family time. We needed some downtime. We needed to de-stress, decompress. Many people loved the fact that they could work from home and they didn't even have to get out of their pajamas or take a shower all day long. And there were others who just enjoyed the fact that they could binge watch Netflix on and on and on for as long as they wanted. The honeymoon phase. But the third quarter, that honeymoon phase, that second quarter moves into the third quarter. In the third quarter, there's a drastic shift. There's a shift towards emotional outbursts, towards aggressiveness, towards rowdiness of behavior that is influenced by angst, by fear, and by an increase in depression. Researchers found that the main reason for this is that those in space and those in this Antarctic expedition were beginning to see their objectives for why they were there. They were beginning to see them achieved, but yet there was no change in their everyday condition, in their everyday experience. Correlation for us today, I believe, is clear. We're beginning to see the flattening of the curve that experts were telling us we had to achieve. We're beginning to see that these mitigation practices are working as the numbers of coronavirus cases are coming down around the country, even though there's hot spots in different parts of our country. But a return to normalcy, well, that is still so far away. And so there's this angst, there's this fear, there's this depression that begins, and rowdiness and aggressiveness, and all these things begin to formulate and begin to come to the surface. You know, in the past week to 2 weeks, week and a half to 2 weeks, I've seen a noticeable shift. And maybe as you're reflecting on it, you've begun to see this noticeable shift from the second quarter, that honeymoon, into the third quarter, that dreaded long third quarter. We begin to see demonstrations at state capitals demanding that governors open up the state. Some of them have been accompanied by militias with armed men. There's a palpable sense of angst. There's a palpable sense of fear. One of the places that I've seen it maybe most vividly is on my Facebook feed. If you have Facebook, maybe you've seen it as well. As there's so much angst, there's so much fear, there's so much vilification of government leaders. There's so much distrust of government leaders, assuming that they're out for our worst. This has risen up. It's a common theme that has begun to take shape in the last week to 2 weeks. I believe, as I read this article and as I read about this study, that this is that sign that we are moving into that third quarter. And so now more than ever, as we look this morning at something that will be a different sort of service, we will need to intentionally take some time to process that question I shared at the beginning. How is it with your soul? As we enter this third quarter, how is it with your soul? Because even if, as you're watching this, we've been moved to yellow and reopening is on the horizon, still we are a long way from normal. The guidelines in yellow show us that. We're a long way from normal. The third quarter could be a really long time. And so as we head into this season, into this third quarter, how is it with your soul? This morning we're going to look at four emotions. Four that you may have heard on many different occasions. They're not mine. I'm adapting them from many different pastors, many different leaders around the world who have used these. Four emotions that can show us where there might be some trouble in our soul. Like warning lights on a dashboard of a car. These emotions can show us how we are really doing at a soul level. So let's look at these. The first emotion, emotion number one, is the emotion glad. The emotion glad. It's happiness. It's gladness. Now, some of you may be thinking, what in the world in these days right now do I have to be happy or glad about? Now, if you feel this way, if that's your first thought, or even if you're struggling to figure out what am I glad about, am I feeling gladness or happiness in any way, it's a warning light in your soul. But thankfully, this is one of the easier ones to fix. And the way you fix it is through thanksgiving, is through gratitude. You see, there's a powerful transaction that takes place when we give thanks, when we focus on what we have, not on what we don't have. Gratitude shifts our focus from what we don't have to what we have. If you're a Christian and you're listening to this morning, in James chapter 1, James says, every good and perfect gift comes from the Father of lights, comes from God, comes from heaven. Every good and perfect gift that you and I have, every blessing, everything that we have to be thankful for, to have gratitude in our hearts for, it's because it's from God. David, in Psalm 103, verses 1 through 5, says this. It says, praise the Lord, O my soul. All my inmost being, praise his holy name. Praise the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Who forgives all your sins and heals your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit and crowns you with love and compassion, who satisfies your desires with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. David encourages his readers to praise the Lord, to praise him for all the good things that the Lord has done for them. In other words, take stock of your life and praise God. Praise him for the things you have. Praise him for the things he has done. And communion, we'll celebrate that later as we give thanks and praise him for the work that Christ has done on the cross. Praise him for what he has done, for what you have, not what you have not. So take the next few minutes, and on that paper or on those sermon notes somewhere, begin to write down what you have to praise the Lord for today. And allow gladness, allow happiness by the Holy Spirit to begin to well up in your soul, to begin to focus your attention from what you don't have to what you have. Take a few minutes. It's time for emotion number two. Emotion number two, mad. Mad is the emotion of anger. This one seems especially prevalent in these days right now. Anger in its holy form is a response to injustice. Because we are made in the image and likeness of God, it is the response to injustice and to the brokenness of the world. It is a pure and holy thing when anger is rooted in justice because it is rooted in justice issues because the world is broken. But anger can also be, being mad can also be a self-centered response. A self-centered response to not getting what I want or getting what I don't want. And so as we look at this emotion, if you're feeling anger, and I think a lot of us are feeling that anger, we're mad about the situation. This morning, by the Holy Spirit, I encourage you to begin to process the the reason that you're angry. Is it a justice issue or is it a self-centered issue? In Psalm 4, verse 4, it says, "In your anger, do not sin. When you are on your beds, search your hearts and be silent." In your anger, do not sin. When you are on your beds, search your hearts and be silent. The psalmist writes, David writes, Paul quotes it later in Ephesians chapter 4, "In your anger, don't sin." The way to do this is to search your heart and to be silent before the Lord. To allow the Holy Spirit of God to reveal the root cause of your anger. See, much of the anger that we are feeling these days, I believe the Lord is just impressing this on my heart for us, is that it's because we are not getting what we want, or we're getting what we don't want. And that is, life is not normal. Some of the anger may be for justice reasons. And if it is, that's perfectly fine, and we need to take steps to act as the Lord would. But for a lot of us, the anger is not a justice issue. It's an issue that I am not getting what I want, or I'm getting what I don't want. So what we're going to do is we're going to take a few moments to really process why you're angry. We're going to figure out, I think you can figure out pretty quickly what you're angry about. But then we want to talk about and process with the Holy Spirit why you are angry. Allow the Holy Spirit to search your hearts in silence. And may I encourage you, don't stop with the first why answer that comes. The soul answer, the soul level thing that is there, how are you doing in your soul, is most likely much deeper, and it may surprise you why you are angry. In the 1930s, Sakichi Toyota, the founder of the Toyota Motor Company, came up with a process called the five whys. And in the five whys, the purpose is to not just find a solution, but to get to the root cause of the problem. See, oftentimes we just look for a solution to the symptom that we're feeling. If I'm angry, what do I do about it? I got to fix it real fast. But the Holy Spirit wants us to go deeper. Because how are you doing in your soul? How is it with your soul? The issue to our anger is most likely much deeper at a soul level. So ask the question, in response to what am I angry about, ask why am I angry? And then once you get an answer to why you're angry, ask again, why is that true? Why am I feeling that way? And then once you get that why, you may get there in two or three whys. It may take five. The purpose is to go past just the surface symptom, and to allow the Holy Spirit to search and to try you at a soul level to bring to your attention why. For some of you, you may find that it's a justice issue that you are mad about. And if so, the Lord will give you some very holy, proactive steps to be able to cooperate with Him to make what is wrong in the world right. For many of us, I believe we're going to find that what we're mad about, what we're angry about, is really a more self-centered reason. We're not getting what we want, or we're getting what we don't want. And if so, we need to repent. This may take more time than what is allotted to us, but search the Lord. Ask Him to search your heart. Let's take the next few minutes to do that. The third emotion, emotion number three, is the emotion sad. Sadness reveals that we have experienced a loss in our lives that we need to grieve. Now, losses in these past weeks of quarantine are numerous. Just to name a few, we've lost face-to-face relationships with friends, with extended family, with grandchildren. We've lost the freedom to do what we want and to go where we want. There's been the loss of jobs. There's been the significant loss of income. There's been the loss of our daily routines of what we're used to. There's been the loss of our ability to worship in person with our church family. And there's that general sense of the loss of what is normal. And these are just to begin to name a few. You probably can come up with many more. There are many things in loss that make us sad these days. Sadness can sometimes get expressed in anger. And as we spent those moments looking at why we might be mad, you may have found that one of the reason why you're mad is that you are sad. And there's a loss that needs to be grieved. In Matthew chapter 5, verse 4, Jesus is preaching the Sermon on the Mount. And in the Beatitudes, he says this, Matthew 5, verse 4, "Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted." Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. You see, mourning leads to comfort from the Lord. Sadness is a warning light that there is something at a soul level that has been lost and that needs to be grieved, that needs to be mourned, so that we are able to receive the comfort of the Lord. Paul says in 2 Corinthians 1 that the God of all comfort will comfort us by the Holy Spirit. And so in these next moments, I want to encourage you to take some time to grieve a loss that has come because of quarantine. Again, this may be probably just the start of this. We're not going to take tons and tons of time. You may have to take some time later. But grieve a loss that has come as a result of quarantine. What does that mean? It means coming to terms, grieving means coming to terms with the reality that this is life right now and making peace with it. In those stages of grief, when you lose a loved one, a loved one passes away, there is a reality that you have to come to the place where you recognize that person isn't here anymore. And comfort will only come, you will only walk through grief when you are ready to come to the place where you've accepted the fact that this is life right now. The more we fight against it, the more we resist it, the more we try to say, no, I'm not going to accept that this is life, the harder it is to receive the comfort of God. But the more we come to the place where we say, I release life as it has been and accept that this is life as it is now. Understand, this is not just giving up hope. This is just acknowledging reality. And so, Lord, I acknowledge that this is reality. And I'm going to come to terms with it. I'm going to release what has been and not try to go back to get it and say, Lord, this is today. This is life now. I grieve it. I release it to you. And when we're in the open hands place, because we've released, because we've come to terms, because we've grieved the loss and have accepted this new reality, we are able to then receive the comfort of God. So in these next moments, acknowledge the sadness, the loss that you've experienced, and they may be numerous, and begin to release them to the Lord. Begin to acknowledge this is life now, so that you might receive by the Holy Spirit His comfort.
Thank you.
Emotion number four. Emotion number four, afraid. Afraid. Fear and anxiety are the lights on the dashboard of our soul that tell us that we are feeling out of control, that we are not feeling safe. It feels like we are helpless, like we are able to, or like we are unable to affect our situation. And worse, sometimes it comes with the belief that God isn't present or that he is not listening to us. Listen to the words of David in Psalm 13, verses 1 through 4, as he was dealing with fear. It says, "How long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long must I wrestle with my thoughts and every day have sorrow in my heart? How long will my enemy triumph over me? Look on me and answer, O Lord my God. Give light to my eyes or I will sleep in death. My enemy will say, I've overcome him. And my foes will rejoice when I fall." We'll look at the last two verses a little bit later. But David felt this feeling of fear, this feeling of abandonment, this feeling of anxiety, feeling that God had left him, and feeling that his enemies were going to have their way with him. He felt helpless. His enemies were going to overcome him. And God, whom he trusted in for his deliverance, he felt as if he had left him. One of the best definitions that I've heard recently of anxiety and fear is this: having a vision of our present or our future where Jesus is not present. Listen to that again. Having a vision of our present or our future where Jesus is not present. Friends, you may be feeling in this world that seems so out of control that you are helpless to do anything. Or even if you did something, what difference would it make? And it raises up fear, it raises up anxiety. We are feeling afraid. We are feeling out of control. As we head into the next part of our service, where we sing praise and worship to the Lord, Leah is going to give you some direction on how to practice this. As we practice these other emotions, looking into them at our soul level, as we sing praises, our praise and worship, Leah is going to give you some direction on how to approach this. But let me encourage you also, as we enter into this time, to put Jesus where he belongs. Put Jesus where he belongs, right in the center of your present and in your future. For he's the one who said, "Do not be afraid, for I am with you." Let the Holy Spirit begin to speak to your heart, to show you where you have not seen Jesus in your present and in your future. And may he enable you to place him right where he needs to be, at the very center of your life. Let's worship and praise the Lord.
Good morning. As we spend our time worshiping our God together, I want to encourage each and every one of you to just use some of this time to reflect on a few different areas of your life, specifically to reflect on the ways that God has blessed you and provided for you, especially during this season, but also just throughout your entire life leading up until this point. That may look like prayer and thanking him for that, or journaling. However that looks for you, I just encourage you to spend some time focusing on these areas. But I also encourage you to spend time reflecting on some of the areas of your life that you're struggling to hand over to God this morning, which may look like things that you're worrying about or causing anxiety, or things that you're trying to control all on your own. So this one, I specifically encourage you to write down, on any paper in a journal, just "Jesus, I give you blank," whatever area that is in your life that you're struggling to hand over to him. And then use the rest of this worship session to just continue surrendering that area of your life over to him. And hopefully continue doing that throughout the week as well.